Hello, and welcome to the CISC podcast. In each edition of this series, you'll have the chance to meet a CISC staff member or other educational professional involved with the CISC community. We think you will find these podcasts of great value as a variety of people share their unique insights in their respective fields. Now, please enjoy this edition of the podcast as our host, Bob Kretzmer, speaks with our guest.
On January 23rd, 2023, I had the opportunity to sit down with Jamie Bowman, the program coordinator for the Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services team here in Kern County. In that role, Jamie also serves as the supervisor of the Substance Use Disorder Team. We wanted to talk with Jamie about the fentanyl crisis facing not only our adult population, but our student population as well. In 2020, the last year for which reliable statistics are available in the state of California, the record reflects that there were 16,537 emergency department visits related to opioid abuse disorders. There were 5,502 deaths related to opioid abuse, and of those, 3,946 related to fentanyl overdose. This crisis is of major significance locally as well as nationally. The information that Jamie shared was extremely valuable, and I think you will enjoy listening to Jamie's comments and some of the information being shared, which will be of direct use to our school districts in Kern County and beyond. Jamie, thank you for being with us today, and we're here to talk about the fentanyl crisis in Kern County. And I'm pleased to let our audience know that Jamie Bowman is a program coordinator with Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. And Jamie, maybe you can expand for us a moment on what else that title includes.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here. As the supervisor of the Substance Use Disorder Prevention Team for Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, my team works to distribute information to our community to make it easier for young people to make healthier decisions regarding substances and alcohol. So part of that is interviews like this, where I'm giving information on the risks of fentanyl and harm reduction tools like Narcan. We also are part of a coalition called the Drug-Free Kern Coalition, where we partner with community school districts, community providers, and we address barriers that they're experiencing with substance use disorder treatment or any prevention needs they may have. And additionally, we partner with school districts throughout Kern County to provide informational resources, trainings, and presentations.
Okay. As we all know, fentanyl has been in the news quite a bit lately, nationally, in the state of California and here in Kern County. So I thought we might start, Jamie, just with what is fentanyl? Can you help us understand that to start?
Absolutely. So fentanyl is in the class of medications called an opioid. So it is an incredibly potent opioid. It's about 100 times stronger than morphine and 40 times stronger than heroin. This class of drug is meant to help regulate pain, so it's frequently prescribed after surgery. And what it does is it decreases your body's response to pain and decreases your respiration. So the big risk with drugs like fentanyl is it's incredibly potent and can cause somebody's breathing to be so depressed that they go into an overdose and are essentially suffocating.
What does a fentanyl overdose look like for our listeners? What would they want to recognize?
So a fentanyl overdose can be seen in a lot of ways. It's going to look like decreased respiration, which is going to result in blue tint to your skin or lips. A person will have constricted pupils, and they will be unresponsive to stimuli. So if you give them a sternum rub or you shake them or call their name, they're not going to respond to you. It looks like unconsciousness.
Okay. Do young people react differently to a fentanyl overdose than an older adult, or How would you describe that situation?
So a young person is largely going to have the same symptoms of an overdose. The risk there is that it takes a smaller amount to put them into an overdose. So when we're talking about a substance like fentanyl, that can be in any form, it can be in a powder, a liquid, a pill, a young person can be exposed to it without knowing, and a very, very small amount can put them into overdose.
And when we're talking about an amount for an overdose, do you measure it by grams, milligrams? Can you give any indication on that?
Yeah. So a fatal dose of fentanyl is 100 times smaller than a fatal dose of heroin. 3 micrograms of fentanyl is enough to kill a full-grown adult.
Why has it recently become such an issue in California and elsewhere? It doesn't seem that we heard as frequently about fentanyl overdosing in years past. But I would say the last 12 months, it has been headline news. What is the explanation for that?
So what we hear from law enforcement is that fentanyl is incredibly cheap to produce, and illicit distribution has really ramped up in the past couple of years to the point that labs have gotten very good at creating and distributing it very inexpensively. And since it can come in any form, we're seeing it being cut into other substances where users are being exposed to fentanyl thinking they're ingesting some other substance. So that's where this big spike in overdoses has been, is people that have been either accidentally or unknowingly exposed because it's been cut into a different substance.
So will the user, if they have not overdosed, will they be able to know right away that they may have been requesting one substance, but the substance they requested was cut with fentanyl? How will they know that they've been exposed to fentanyl, or will they?
They won't necessarily know. We have definitely heard stories of individuals seeking treatment for methamphetamine use disorder, and they're testing positive for fentanyl whenever they have never knowingly taken fentanyl in their life. So experienced drug users have not been able to tell the difference between the drug they were expecting and the fentanyl they were exposed to.
How significant of a problem is the illicit use of fentanyl in Kern County? Now, what would you say about that?
So I can't speak specifically to that. I can say that the overdose rates for California in 2020, there were 5,502 deaths related to any opioid overdose in California. 3,946 of those deaths were related to fentanyl specifically. We know in Kern County that same year, 2020, we had a much higher rate. We had 222 overdose deaths from opioids, but we don't have a specific fentanyl number. Our death rate per capita is 24.3 per 100,000 in Kern County. For the state in 2020, it was at 17 per 100,000. So we know that locally we're seeing higher opioid overdoses, and we know that number is increasing.
And so I think I heard you say 222 opioid deaths in Kern County in the calendar year 2020.
2020, yes.
What would be some of the other categories of opioids that would have been the causes of those deaths? Can you comment on that at all?
Yeah, so heroin is another type of opioid. We also consider prescription drugs like oxycodone, OxyContin. Those are all opioid medications.
Has the cost of heroin, I believe I have read, the cost of heroin has also declined? Am I correct about that?
So the cost of heroin relative to prescription drugs is much cheaper. So whenever we're talking about addictions formed through prescription drug use, because we know that that chemical dependency can form when somebody is taking a prescription medication, that person is more likely to seek out heroin instead of continued prescription medication because of the price difference. So I can say that heroin is significantly cheaper than prescription medication, but I can't speak to the price of heroin over a period of time.
Yeah. So is it true that some young people, of course, we are mostly concerned with the work that we do at CISC, with that K through 12 group, would it be true that a significant number of young people who do end up exposed to fentanyl, are they exposed through some misuse of a fentanyl drug that would be available in the home that maybe has been prescribed to someone because they're coming off of surgery or in pain?
So we can say that of the numbers that we see, a lot of opioid use dependencies are formed through prescription medications. For young people, because experimentation is a natural part of development, we do know that young people are experimenting with substances like vaping and marijuana, or what we would consider less risky drugs, those entry-level drugs, right? Because those have now been contaminated with things like fentanyl, it makes that risk of experimentation significantly higher than at any time in the past. So we definitely have heard reports of young people thinking that they are vaping or thinking that they are smoking marijuana, and they have wound up overdosing on an opioid, fentanyl specifically, because their product was cut.
So let's talk a little bit about naloxone. And first of all, let's have you, if you don't mind, can you define what naloxone is?
Absolutely. Naloxone is an opioid antagonist. It works by essentially kicking an opioid off of the receptors in the brain that are responding to that drug. So it instantly reverses an opioid overdose by kicking opioids off of the receptor in your brain and blocking it.
9 times out of 10, 90 times out of 100, the naloxone is effective?
So I don't know that I would say 9 times out of 10. It's proportionate to the amount of opioid in somebody's body. So it might take multiple administrations of naloxone for it to work, but as long as you have the appropriate dosage, it should be 100% successful.
And I might take a moment to remind our listeners that we are sitting down with Jamie Bowman. Jamie is the program coordinator with Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. And our topic today is the fentanyl crisis here in Kern County and elsewhere. So thanks again, Jamie. So with respect to access to naloxone, again, particularly for our K-12 schools in Kern County or elsewhere, what is your role with that, Jamie? Can you help me understand how you can assist with that or your department?
Absolutely. So my team specifically holds a grant from the state of California. It's through the Naloxone Distribution Project. We have Narcan or naloxone that's available free of cost to any community member. So we provide training and Narcan to any interested party that reaches out. Additionally, through our partnership with Drug Free Kern, we have community partners that provide Narcan at their locations on a walk-in basis. So all Kern County libraries are currently Narcan distribution sites. You can walk in during any operating hours, request Narcan, receive a training, and leave with a Narcan kit. Other sites include Baker Street, Clinica Sierra Vista, and the Bakersfield AIDS Project.
And when, for example, if someone were to walk into the public library and sit through a training, about how much time does that take?
Less than 5 minutes.
Is that right?
Yes, and it's entirely anonymous. You'll be asked to complete a demographic form with your general information because that's required by the state for reporting purposes. But you can walk in, anonymously request, and leave with a dose of Narcan.
And if I am sitting at a school district and the superintendent walks into my office and he says, "Bob, you're on it. You're the new Narcan guy for this school site. What is my next step in relationship to contacting you?"
You're going to email me at prevention@kernbhrs.org. I'm going to send you my fabulous toolkit that we already have put together for you that has steps for implementation, a request form for the presentation, and how many Narcan kits you want, and we can get you set up.
Okay. Does your office have a recommendation if I am at a school site in terms of how many kits I may want? Or is that based on the what we call average daily attendance at the school site, the student population at the school site? How do I know I'm getting enough?
So the standard recommendation is 2 doses per school, but there are cases where large campuses would be a better fit for more doses, or schools with large student bodies need additional doses.
Okay. Are you finding that there is a need for further outreach to our school districts? Are you getting plenty of requests in your office, or how would you summarize that, Jamie?
We've been really fortunate to have great partnership with the schools through Kern County. I know we have done a lot of outreach, and schools have either requested trainings, or they have been filling their needs internally through the Kern County Superintendent of Schools. They shared our toolkit on how to become a grant holder with the Naloxone Distribution Project. So many campuses are independently doing that grant. But I think the best answer is that every school site needs Narcan. So until we're at 100% compliance, we're not where we need to be yet.
And Jamie, can you think of anything else that we may want to make sure our listeners know about through your department that might be of help? I know in some of our discussions, you've indicated that a representative of your department could actually come out, I believe, to a school site, give a presentation on fentanyl, a general educate, or on opioids. And could you maybe just speak a little bit to what that presentation would entail or would be inclusive of?
Absolutely. So the training specifically for Narcan is going to walk you through a lot of what we talked about today, what opioid overdose looks like, overdose rates throughout the county, things to watch out for, and then specifically how to administer Narcan. Additionally, for my team, we offer presentations on things like Prevention 101, so best ways to talk to young people about substances, best practices. We additionally offer trainings on things like marijuana and vaping and social media. So those are all available from the prevention team. On the treatment side of things, I want to make sure that we share our SUD access line. So it's the Gateway phone service. And that number is 866-266-4898. And that number is a 24/7 service that individuals can call when they're ready for treatment and be paired with a treatment provider. So they will hang up that phone call with an appointment for an appropriate service provider for their substance use disorder treatment.
Wonderful. And how about anything else, Jamie, that maybe I haven't asked you but would be important to share about either the fentanyl crisis or services from your department that we would want to be aware of? Anything else you can add to that?
So one service that I definitely want to share is our Kern Rx Return program. At various pharmacies throughout Kern County, we have drop boxes where you can surrender unused or expired medications. That's an excellent way to get them out of your home to make sure that they don't fall in the hands of curious or experimenting youth. So any old prescriptions we have, we can get out of our house. You can access a list of available pharmacies at kernrxreturn.org, or you can call 211 for a list of partner pharmacies. Additionally, I would just like to add that opioid use disorder is a disease, and we want to make sure that we're approaching all of these conversations with kindness and compassion, that we're not furthering stigma around these topics, and that really every single person should include Narcan as part of their first aid kit. It should not be a stigma-surrounded issue, that we should know that we need that for public safety and be willing to have that.
Important advice. And Jamie, just on behalf of CISC and the Kern County Superintendent of Schools office, we want to thank you for the work you do. It's just always significantly important. But in these times with the increase of the use of fentanyl, I'm sure your services are even being more relied upon. And just thank you for taking the time to be with us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the CISC podcast and greatly appreciate you listening to our show. Please check the CISC property and liability website at cisc.kern.org for a complete listing of podcast topics under the property and liability tab. Until next time, stay safe as we continue with the CISC mission of schools helping schools.
Production facilities for the CISC podcast are provided by KETN, a service of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools.